Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our guest is Mary Bell Ortega. Mary Bell is a coach, and I'm going to read a little bio thing because I pulled an all-nighter, and people who know me really well, my audience know I'm famous for pretending to be a college student to get work done. So to give Mary Bell justice, she helps women go from manager to leader without the overwhelm in just 90 days. She is a professional coach, podcaster, keynote speaker, and mentor. Her personal mission is to inspire, empower, and motivate professional women to uncover their worth and be confident so they can use their voice, speak up, take new opportunities, and ultimately lead fulfilled lives. So I love that. And Mary Bell just shared with me that she's living in Germany. So those of who know me too know that I'm a travel love bug. And so I love talking to women working all over the world. So Mary Bell, welcome to our episode, and tell us, what did I miss in your bio?
Thanks very much, Karen. Thanks for inviting me. I think that was a good summary. Let me think if you missed anything. I'm a leadership expert. I think that's what I would say right now. And my passion is to empower women, to support them to whatever it is that they want. It's kind of like when I hear that women don't get paid for the same position as a man, it just triggers me. Whenever women don't have the same opportunities as others, that's just, it's my calling. It speaks to me. So I would say, yes, you can say coach and leadership expert and blah, blah. In the end, it's all empowerment of women with the aim of creating diversity and equity in the world, because we thrive more, and also businesses too.
That was so well said. Thank you. So I mentioned that you're from Germany, but can you tell us about your life progression in terms of the places you've lived and where you're from? Because I think having diverse women on this podcast is incredibly powerful. Where people are from and where they live and what they do is, as women, we need more exposure to different people, different places.
Exactly. I come originally from the Dominican Republic. I was born 45 years ago in Santo Domingo. That's the capital city of the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic is an island in the Caribbean, and it's one of the very few islands that is divided into countries. The country we share the island with is Haiti. I grew up there with the island experience, and now that I live in Europe, I enjoy that very much, because growing up in the Dominican Republic, unless you have access to a lot of money, it's very difficult to leave the island, because and experiencing other cultures. And I had always this desire to go outside and to discover different cultures. And because of American cable TV, I grew up watching HBO and Max in the 90s, the 80s and the 90s, when I was a young girl and teenager. So we have a lot of influence in terms of media from the US. So it's always thinking, oh, New York or Miami. Those are like the two places that you hear a lot when when you're in the Caribbean, because there are like the closest in Europe is like light years away. When I was 23, when I was in my 20s, I couldn't really find what it is, what my purpose in this world was. I'm the type of person that whose life is like zigzag. It's not like I finished high school, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, I did that, and you know, like everything was perfect, but it's like the other way around. Lots of trial and error, that didn't work, this didn't work. So my love for literature has been, as you can see in the back, there's lots of books. I've always loved books, but I couldn't in the 90s. It was not really possible to study literature in the Caribbean or in the Dominican Republic because it's such a small island. You can't just study literature to teach at school, and that's not what I wanted to do. And because I was so good in school, then I started studying medicine, and I did that for 5 years. And until I just couldn't. It was just all the time I was thinking, I want to read a novel. I want to do something else. So my solution was to get married to the head of my daughter. Don't do that. That's a bad solution. I have a 20-year-old daughter who has learned that because I have repeated that so often. That was kind of like my way of finding out what was out there. I married, and then with my first husband, who is the father of my daughter, we moved to Chile. We lived in Santiago for 2 years. That's where my daughter was born. From there, we moved to Switzerland. In Zurich, we lived for a year. From there, we moved to Germany. And in Germany, we lived in a city called Erlangen. And after that, I moved to Munich when that relationship was over. And that's the story of the places where I've lived.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I know sometimes it's not easy. I'm also remarried, and I know sometimes it's not easy to share that that piece.
What's funny to me with your story is when you said you had a daughter that was 20. Like, not only do you look young, but 20 sounds like so old to have a child, right? To have a child that's 20 years old. And then I was like, wait a minute, my daughter's going to be 19 in March. It's funny how that happens, right?
Yes, I guess when they're still in the 19s, you kind of like think that they're still small, and 20 is like, oh, 20, 21, that's just older, but it's just 1 year away.
Right. It was a little bit of a shock there for a minute. I keep forgetting that happens. Yeah. So I wanted to mention too that your flagship coaching program for when people try to learn more about what you do, it's called Unshakable Confidence. Can you tell us a little more about when that started and what that looks like?
Sure. I've been in corporate training for many years, but around 5-6 years ago, I switched from corporate training to coaching. And what happened was, maybe I need to go back a little bit to that part before my divorce, because that is that was kind of like the turning point in my life. I was a very shy girl, and I never dared to like give my opinion or to say, I don't want to do that. I have a, you know, kind of like with other kids of the same age, I was so shy. And yeah, all my teenage years, I was like that. And then I got married to this guy who was very dominant and authoritative. So, and that I think, like, looking back at it now that it's been almost 20 years, well, 15 years, I needed to do that. I needed to marry this type of personality because I had to conquer my independence from it. That's why I see it now. Mm-hmm. And I decided to leave him. I had $700 in my bank account. I literally had nothing, like a really part-time job, nothing really secure. But the situation was so bad that for me, bad in the sense that I was just not feeling fulfilled. And my thought was, do I want to be this person in 10 years, in 15 years? Do I want my daughter to see me as this person when wow. she's older?
Yeah.
And for me, that was very powerful when I thought, no, this is not where I want to be. And I don't want her to see that. So I left him. One day he came back from traveling and I said, I'm leaving. That's it. I spent a couple of months living at a friend's, sleeping on the couch. I did whatever I needed to do. And this is where my journey to discovering the power inside of me, sorry, not discovering. I would prefer to say uncovering because it's always there. It's there. And what it needs is to all these layers and all these stuff that we learn while growing up, we learn from our parents, or we learn from some authority in our lives, like a teacher or a boss, whatever, that creates all these constraints in our behavior. Then let's move 10 years later. During all this time, I grew, I got older, I got more matured, and I empowered myself. And when I was teaching in corporate, I saw these young girls, 25, repeating what I had been doing exactly at that age. And that's when I thought, and you see, it took me so long to find what it is that I can say now, this is my calling. I was maybe 37 when I realized, this is it. This is what I can help people with, because I know how it feels. I know the discomfort of having a different opinion, but worrying too much. What are they going to think? Are people going to like me? You know, this kind of like people pleasing and avoiding confrontation. I know how it feels, and I know what you need to do in order to get out of all that. And this is how my coaching started. And from working with this type of women who are professional women, who have a lot of potential, who have achieved a lot, but they are themselves keeping, you know, kind of like keeping their wings close to their bodies and not flying. They're playing small and they could play so much bigger. And yes, there are some barriers that are institutional barriers, society barriers, but and these are things that we need to fight against, but there are other things that have to do with our behavior, with the way that we were brought up, that we can actively change, that it's in our area of influence, as opposed to governmental policies or whatever, you know. And that is where 2 years ago, Unshakable Confidence, from this desire to help people, was born. And this is a 3-month coaching program. It's a hybrid program, meaning that there is a part of the program that is online, with which is videos and workbook and journaling. And on the other side, it's the part of the coaching that you do with me. I have done it so far, one-on-one coaching, and this year I am introducing the group version of Unshakable Confidence. And I'm really looking forward to that, because there is so much power in the group, from learning from other people. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, it sounds really wonderful. And Do you think it'll be a draw for trauma survivors to come in? Because I think survivors really need to have more unshakable confidence. Have you seen that in your work?
Yes. I think when it comes to trauma, we need to differentiate. Are we talking about big T, you know, trauma, meaning like
what, like an assault,
many years of sexual harassment, you know, like really major trauma that requires therapy from a professional therapist. And then there's also the small case T trauma, which we all have, like low self-esteem, not being self-confident enough, being afraid of different things, afraid of not being accepted, afraid of showing anger, using procrastination as a defense mechanism to not achieve your goals, that kind of things. Those, that kind of trauma, I think it's something that we can work with in unshakable confidence. The basis for achieving your goals and success, and basically from my experience, the basis of living a life with happiness or just being content, is self-esteem. And part of self-esteem is self-confidence, and the other part is self-efficacy. Those two combined create self-esteem. And when you work with that, then you are creating the basis for a successful life. If you are someone with one of the big traumas, then you're most welcome. But to work specifically with that, then I recommend that you also go to therapy.
I appreciate that so much. As
both a trauma therapist and a coach, I appreciate that you know the limitations of what coaching can offer. Of course, your services will help most women, no doubt. But adding in that, yeah, maybe you need that therapy piece too, and it's okay. You know, take care of those big T's so we can really rock those little T's in terms of recovery. So, yeah, I really like that.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, my intention is just to help as much people as possible, as many women as possible. And I just want in order to work in this, we need to have trust. And the best way for you to trust me is that you know that I can tell you, I can help you with this. And for this other stuff, you need a professional therapist. And I'm not that, at least not yet. Mm-hmm. Because the basic difference from my perspective, I'd love to hear what you think, Karen, is in coaching, we don't work with the past. If we work with the past just very briefly, or let's say superficial, and coaching is based on what's now and what can I do now to improve the now and the future and work toward those goals. And for those big T's, then I think it's necessary to work with the past and to heal many, many areas of our young selves or baby selves that when the trauma happened didn't have the maturity to deal with those situations. What do you think about that, Karen? Is that how you make the difference between therapy and coaching?
It's a bit more of a challenge for me to tease them apart just because I am both, and like, so I can offer both. A lot of the difference for my role is you can only be a therapist in certain states. You can only do therapy in states that you're licensed in. So oddly enough, I could work with you in Germany. I could be your therapist because there's no laws or rules against that. But someone living in Texas, I couldn't be their therapist unless I had a license there. So then I have to put the coaching label on it. Okay. So for me, it's just hard to tease apart because I know how to do both. But I do agree that coaching may be a better fit for smaller T's. Okay. The coaching program I do just happens to be a deeper dive into trauma recovery. So of course we do look at the past. But a coach that doesn't have the clinical experience, I probably wouldn't recommend that they have a trauma recovery. Maybe more, theirs is more of a support group working on future goals. So in my program, we do a little bit of digging, actually a lot of digging, with the intention in mind that it will improve the future, not just a dig just because, but because it will improve the future.
Yeah. Well, yes, definitely. I totally agree with that. I think in both areas, both therapy and coaching, the intention is to just have a happier life and to be able to cope with difficult situations now.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, accountability, coaching for me, I think of accountability, I think of action plans, you know, I think of just having routines in place that can set you up for success. I think a coach is incredibly valuable for those pieces as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with all the reading you like to do and the work that you're doing, have you written a book or is there a book in your future?
Yes, there is. And it's this year we're going to publish it. And I say we because it's connected with my podcast. I started a podcast with my co-host, Helen Strong. Our podcast is called Audaciousness. In our podcast, we showcase audacious, bold people who have achieved incredible goals. And in our conversations, we find out what were the things that that were keeping them from achieving that goal before they did it. And we dig into what changed in their mindset or in their actions so that they started on that new path. After 1 year of interviews, we decided that we had learned a lot. So what we're doing is we're going to write the Audaciousness book, where we are going to outline the silver linings of all these conversations and what makes a person audacious, so that whoever wants to become audacious then has a roadmap of what they can do. And yeah, the plan is to publish our book in the fall.
Awesome. Well, keep me posted so I can add it to our show notes. Okay. For the readers to see. Yeah. All right. Yes, and so we're coming close up to time. I would love to hear what your favorite book is and why.
Okay. One of my favorite books that is part of almost compulsory reading for the program is Tara Moore's Playing Big. Playing Big by Tara Moore. It's well written. It's easy to understand. And what I found there particularly interesting are the concepts of the inner critic and the inner mentor. And she shares there some techniques on how to deal with the inner critic. Not some, several, many techniques. So you have like an option, a basket of options, and you try and see what is the technique that that works best for you so that you can come to terms and it compels with your inner critic because it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. But just at least putting down the volume so that it's not the only voice speaking in your head and it becomes just one next to your rational voice. And then you can work with it and say, it's okay. I know you're worried about me, but you know what? I've got this. I can deal with this. And the other concept is the inner mentor. We talk about mentors and having a mentor, but these are all external mentors. And who's your role model? And that's all cool. But the beauty of the inner mentor is that the inner mentor is always with you. And she shares there a visualization meditation that you can do so that you visit your inner mentor. And your inner mentor is just who you think you will be in 20 years. And whenever I do that, whenever I do this guided visualization, people go and meet themselves, but 20 years older. And always, also when I did it for myself, it's like this improved, cool, calmer version of yourself, happy with the gray hair and the wrinkles, but most importantly, calm. And when you visit your inner mentor and during the visualization, you have a conversation with them and you see them, then it's so clear who you can become. And whenever you're in a situation that is a dilemma or where you need to make a difficult decision, you can always go back to your inner mentor, which is just a wiser version of yourself. And you ask her, what would you do? And then she tells you. And if you start reacting that way with the advice of your inner mentor, then day by day, you just start becoming her. Mm-hmm. And I think that concept is, yeah, I agree. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I love it more than you could ever know. Yeah. I went to this conference one time. It was called Dream Building. And one of the exercises was you pretend you're in a time capsule and you link arms with someone and you spin around like 3 times. And when you come out of the time capsule, it's either 5 or 10 years later. And you talk to the person as if you hadn't seen them in 5 or 10 years, and you're telling them all about your life. You know, okay, what wonderful things you've accomplished, like what's going on in your romantic life, you know, mm-hmm. Where you went on vacation. It is such a fun exercise. I can't tell you how much I enjoy that. Because
I can imagine.
Yeah. Whatever we want to have happen, we can have happen. That's a fact.
Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I really hate to end. I really enjoyed our conversation together. So thank one you. Last thing I will ask you, and if you have something to share, is if you could say one inspirational thing to survivors who are listening that are really struggling right now. You know, they're really struggling to find hope. What would you suggest or encourage them to do right now?
Okay. I think I can come up with several things that could be useful. And one is, you are where you need to be right now. I think the most important thing that regardless of what the situation it is that we are, is that this is where we need to be. And if we are able to reframe it into a way of understanding that I need to go through this because there's something I need to learn here. I have to go through this. And then if you start looking to what it is that you need to learn, then you stop focusing on what's on, you know, on the trouble or the way that you're not feeling as you wish you would be feeling. And then you're focusing more on what's the learning experience? What is it that I need to learn? And if you use that and go back to other moments in your life in the past, and you see, did I have other moments in my past that were difficult? And did I overcome that? And hopefully the answer is yes. That can give you hope and increase your confidence that whatever life throws at you, it's because you can deal with it. Yeah. And things like, for example, with the pandemic, I don't think that being super positive is the best way to move forward. I think it's better to have a rational positivity, saying, okay, things right now are not ideal, and they're probably not going to be ideal for a while, but eventually, for sure, they will become. And with that hope inside, then you can, instead of spending energy on complaining and this is not how I want and this is not working and blah, 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 then the energy that you have, you're focusing on what can I do now? What can I do today so that tomorrow is a little bit better? And then just focus on the present and not think too much about the future.
Yeah, just focusing on the one next step. That's all you got to do right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think we're sisters from other misters. I don't know. They always throw mamas in there. You know, I get tired of the whole mama thing. So.
For sure. Beautiful.
It was such a pleasure having you on today. I wish you much success in your program. Keep us posted so we can share it with our members, our audience, and same with your book. Okay.
All right. Thanks very much, Karen, for inviting me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.